Hey everyone, come on in. Happy Thursday. Let me close some windows here, get myself set up. Can everybody hear me okay? Give me a thumbs up in the chat. All right, thank you. How's everybody doing tonight? Thanks, Pam. I see you. Let me make sure y'all's chat is set to everyone and not just hosts and panelists. So if you send a message, make sure you're sending it to everyone. I'm gonna call up Coach Lizzie in the house. She should be in here. Maybe it's Coach Heather. I had my people mixed up. Okay. Let me change who I am. We are talking tonight about winning your weekly weigh-ins. This is a topic that is near and dear to me. If you have like scale drama, or you feel like you eff it eat, if you have a bad scale day, if you are scared that you won't be able to keep things going, if you aren't sure how to get the scale moving again, then this is the call for you. So tonight is open coaching. So I'm going to do a little bit of chit-chatting in the beginning. Then we'll just see who would like to get some coaching around the scale and their weekly weigh-ins. If you have data, that's amazing. That was in the call description. If you don't, that's okay. We can talk a little bit about that. But I'm promoting you to panelist, Heather. Okay, so let's talk about winning your weekly weigh-ins. So I have said this many, many times if you've been on my coaching calls before. The best way that I know how, and I do this with my private clients, to get over the scale drama, so to speak, or win your weekly weigh-ins is to be sure that you have data, which is why we mentioned it in the call description about making sure that you have some data. This is so helpful when you're trying to understand the scale and use the scale as part of your team to lose weight and not as your enemy. I like to try to think of the scale being sort of my partner. It is just the thing that gives me feedback on how I'm doing with my habits. It does not judge me. It does not set the mood for my day. It used to, but it doesn't anymore. So that's kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. Okay. So why is it important to collect data and how does that help you on the scale? The first thing is because, your brains, if they're like mine, they will not remember accurately how you showed up for the week. They will either, depending, they will either have rose-colored glasses. Like my brain used to say, well, I ate a salad yesterday. I don't understand why the scale's not going down, right? Or on the flip side, sometimes you will have had a great week, but maybe you overate one time and you're like, oh, the whole week was messed up. Right. So your brain will not remember accurately, but data does not lie. So it's really, really helpful when you're trying to understand the scale and how to make it your partner in weight loss to have data because we just want to deal in facts. We don't want to trust our brains because we know our brains are dramatic and there's so many thoughts in there. Right. So we really want that data. Okay. The other reason it's really awesome to collect data is because it helps you see your wins. It really helps collect wins. And that's the place that we want to go into the next week with, right? We want to collect some wins. We want to see where we're making progress. This is the opposite of where most of us try to lose weight from. A lot of us try to lose weight from the place of, here's all the things I got to fix. Okay, I got to do this better and I got to do this better. And it's good to understand where your room for growth is, but it's really defeating to always feel like you're chasing your mistakes. So it's really important to collect data to make sure that you're finding what you're doing right because it's so much easier to go into the next week when you have a positive attitude about some things you did right the previous week. Okay. If you're not sure, because I ran into this. Hey, Karen, I ran into this too. Hey, Kim, people are saying hi to me in the chat. Sorry, y'all. I got squirreled. I should probably hide it. Anyway, I don't get to do membership calls very often. So I'm like, oh, where's my people at? If you're not sure, this was a problem for me. Like with when I was collecting my data, I realized after a while that I probably wasn't being super, like, let's just say honest with how I did my assessments. Like I would give myself, I'm sure I stopped it enough at all my meals today. And I look at my percentages for the month and I'm like, wow, look at me, stopped it enough 90% of the time. And then I look at my scale data and it says, gain 1.3. And I'm like, either I don't have a good sense of what my enough is, or I might be in a little bit of denial, right? So I had to work through that. And so it was challenging for me in my perfectionistic mindset to give myself a little X on the did you follow doable hunger? So I sort of made a little deal with my brain and I was like, you know, I think I'm not sure if I stopped it enough, but I might have, but I'm not sure. So I allowed myself to just put little question marks. And at the end of the month, when I did my percentages, I counted up the number of question marks. And then that gave me an opportunity to ask myself, are they question marks because I didn't want to write a check mark or an X? Or are they question marks because I truly don't know where my enough is? Either way, it's good information to have. Okay. So let's talk about this. Now, y'all don't forget, this is open coaching. So I want to see some hands going up. If you have scale stuff, if you want to know how to get better. And you know what? Today's Thursday and the membership weigh-in is tomorrow. So this is a great time for you to set yourself up for weigh-in tomorrow if you're a Friday weigher or if you're an everyday weigher. So let me see some hands raised so we can talk about how to win your weekly weigh-in tomorrow while I'm chit-chatting about this stuff. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is how to not eff it eat after a bad day. Okay, in the chat, y'all, give me a thumbs up if this is something you do. If the scale goes down, I mean, I'm sorry, if the scale doesn't go down, do you say eff it? And just use that day. Yeah, thumbs up. Screw you. I'll show you scale. If you're not going to give me the number I want, I'm just going to eat all the things, right? As if the scale is getting its feelings hurt when we do that. Right. Okay. So, how do we not do that? So, this goes back to what I said just a second ago, which is please, when you're doing your assessments, look for things that you did do right. Look for the wins, highlight what went well. Find those things because when you're feeling good about how you showed up, despite what the scale says, you are more likely to want to keep going, right? We are more likely to want to keep going. So find your wins, y'all. Find your wins. The second way to not say eff it is because I want you to know that the reason we say eff it is because we're eating over the judgment of what we make the number mean when it goes up. I'll say it again. We eff it eat because we're eating over the judgment of what we make the number going up mean. So, for example, when I was weighing in and I was in weight loss, if the number went up before I did my thought work, if the number went up, I would be like, see, I'm never going to get this. I thought I had a good week and look what happened. Right? I just can't figure this out. This isn't going to work for me. So I'm totally judging myself and the way I showed up, and I'm judging my future. I'm judging my ability. Right? And so I eff it eat to get away from that. Right? Because I go back to judgment doesn't feel good. So I'm going to eff it eat. I'm just going to eat all the things because I'm getting away from what I'm making that number mean about myself. Okay. The next thing, and this is kind of, I don't know, I talk about this with my private clients, but there's a big difference when the scale goes up and you make it mean that you won't ever be able to lose weight and all of that stuff. There's a difference between that and disappointment. We want to allow for disappointment. It's okay to be disappointed when the scale goes up. That is a very normal feeling. When it gets into dangerous territory is when we let that disappointment go into like defeated and I can't figure this out. Disappointment is a really normal feeling. I mean, even now in maintenance, and I'm working on getting a little bit lower in my maintenance range, but even now in maintenance, when the number goes up, I do have a little pang of disappointment. It's like, oh, right? But I'm quickly able to reverse that thought and think other things. But it's normal to have that disappointment feeling. I mean, hell, Like, I did Weight Watchers for so long, y'all. I don't know if that disappointment will ever go away. I mean, how many of us stood on the scale in front of the little lady at Weight Watchers praying for a good number that she was going to write in your book? Right? Yes, exactly. So I think it's just normal for me to see a number on the scale. If it's higher than it was yesterday, it's just like my knee-jerk reaction, like my gut reaction, like, oh, dang. It's just normal. But so you can just allow for disappointment. It's okay to be disappointed. Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about not having an effort eat after weighing in is you got to have reasons for your habits other than that damn number. Y'all, there are just times when sometimes we have a great week. We feel like we did everything right. And the scale just either doesn't move or maybe went up a skosh. So we got to have something tied to our habits besides the number. Because if the only reason that I'm making a plan, if the only reason I'm trying to manage my urges or get water or get my sleep in, if the only thing is to see that stupid number go down, what if it doesn't? Right? Then why would I do this tomorrow? So we got to have other reasons besides weight loss that we're doing the four basics. Okay? So that's really, really important. Okay. I don't see any hands raised, y'all. So let's go back and talk about tomorrow and the scale. So let's get some hands raised if you want some coaching around your scale mindset. Okay. While we're waiting for more people to come in and raise hands, I wanted to talk about this. This actually wasn't in the scale description, but I was like, why else would I eff it eat after I weighed in? It's not always because it's a bad day. Does anybody eff it eat after the scale is good? Like after the scale goes down? Anyone? No, just me. Just me. Oh, okay, thank God. I'm not alone. Yeah, I used to totally do that. Somebody type in the chat, why did we do that? And I'll see if it's the same reason. Why did y'all do it? If the scale went down, why would you eff it eat? Anyone? Okay, wait. People are coming in, but I gotta scroll. Let me see. Oh, as a reward. Yes, we are celebrating. Not eff it eat, but kind reward eat. Breathing room. Yes, Mish. Yes, that was me. I can afford it. You guys, I still hear that thought. I still have that thought. Oh, I can afford that. I got room. I did good today. It's breathing room. Yes. Now, I can tie my breathing room thought back to like in the day from when I was in Weight Watchers and I would have to eat like restrict all throughout the week. Then weigh-in day came, and then guess what I did? I totally, yes, we had a whole week to fix it. Yes, Gloria. I would totally go out and eat all the things that I wouldn't allow myself to have during the week. So I felt like I got to get it all in on Friday because then I have 6 days to undo it, right? Yeah. So I was thinking about that. We didn't put that in the description, but I was like, oh yeah, I used to eff it eat. So it's almost like damned if you do, damned if you don't. The scale doesn't go down, you eff it eat. The scale, does go down, you eff it eat. It's like, ah, why are we letting the scale dictate so much of how we show up, right? Okay. Next topic. All right. Oh, I see hands raised. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm gonna fly through the last little bits. Y'all keep your hands up. I'm gonna fly through the last little bit of what I have, and then we'll get going to some coaching. Okay, so the next thing we talked about answering in this call is what to do when the scale just won't move. Okay, so this is what I came up with like three little quick, easy things. Okay, so if you're taking notes, three things to look at when the scale won't move. Number one, look for the low-hanging fruit that you could cut out that you will not miss. Look for the stuff that truly won't matter. For example, like little grab passes that you're probably not even really enjoying. Like seriously, if you're walking by like the candy bowl at work and you shove like a handful of M&Ms in your mouth, do you even really enjoy that? Probably not. I mean, some of y'all might. Oh, if you do, okay, that's a different discussion. But most of the time, if it's a grab ass or I call it drive-by eating. If it's a drive-by eat, I'm not even paying attention to it. I didn't even enjoy it. It was like in my mouth, in my gullet before I even knew I had it. So clean that up. Look at if you're a drinker, maybe look at some alcohol. Like, could you cut back a little bit here and there? I know we don't count calories and no BS, but there are calories in alcohol and it could make a difference in your weight loss, right? So see if that. What about like the bread basket? Corinne always talks about the bread basket, at dinner when she goes out and stuff. She doesn't eat out of the bread basket. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but unless it's like Olive Garden, those breadsticks, which are amazing, I probably wouldn't be eaten out of a lot of bread baskets. It's just usually not that good. And plus, I would rather have dessert myself. But so look for that. Look for that low-hanging fruit. For me, things like the cheese on a Subway sandwich. Do not come for me if you are a cheese lover. Okay. I love cheese too, but on like a sub sandwich, there's usually so much other stuff on there. I can't even really taste it. So look for stuff like that, stuff that won't matter to you. Corinne always talks about like swapping the mayo on her burger for mustard. Or wait, the other way around. Yeah, swapping mayo for mustard, like have mustard instead of mayonnaise, things that maybe won't really matter to you. Look for that. Make sure that you make sure they're doable. Don't be picking shit that you don't like. Like check in with yourself. Does keeping off the cheese on your sandwich like send you into like huge resistance? Then don't do it. Pick something else. Okay. Make sure sleep and water. That's my third suggestion, right? Sleep. Where are you at with that? Y'all, we underestimate the impact that good sleep has on our weight loss. And if you want to know more about the importance of sleep, go back and review the sleep lesson in the No BS Weight Loss course. Like, it's really, really good at pointing out why sleep and water are so important to you. Go back and review those two lessons. So start with that low-hanging fruit. Check out your sleep and water. Okay, lastly, how many of us do this? Weigh in, have a good week, had a little bit of loss, do it again the next week. Ooh, another little bit of a loss. And then we start thinking, oh shit, I'm not gonna be able to keep this up. Any minute now, I'm gonna have a gain. I mean, I had 2 good weeks. So you know what happens. We use our past to predict our present, right? Any moment now, I'm gonna gain. We wait for the other shoe to drop, right? How do we keep that momentum going? Because it's a fear we have, right? It is a fear. Well, here's what you do. You connect the dots between the number on the scale to how you got it, how that number came to be. We're back to data. Y'all, please, if you are not assessing, assess. There's a habit tracker in your planner. You can just do the habit tracker. If you're not using the No BS planner, you can just print out the habit tracker sheet. I found these little, I don't know if y'all can see these. Can y'all see this? These little Post-it notes, they're made by Post-it. Oh, I don't know how good they are. But anyway, I got them at Target. It's like a little Post-it note of 30 days and it says habit at the top. You can use those. Just assess, track your habits, right? Connect the dots between, oh my gosh, I lost weight this week. What did I do? How did I do that? Go back, look at it, connect the dots that it was you that did it. Okay. Watch out for those old shitties. No, be aware that you're telling yourself that you're worried you're going to gain because of your past. Oh, I can't keep this up. The other shoe's going to drop, that kind of stuff. Be aware of what you're telling yourself. One of the things that I used to tell myself, oh my gosh, if I had a loss, I would start predicting what was going to screw it up the next week. Like I would be like, oh man, you had a good loss. And then I'd be like, oh yeah, but next week you're going out to dinner twice. Or, oh yeah, but then you're going out of town. Like, psh, I mean, you just blown it. I would already pretend that I was gaining, right? Do y'all do that? Still? I don't know. Sometimes I still do that. But just being aware that I'm telling myself that, sometimes awareness is all you need. It's like, wow, I'm already predicting that I'm going to gain next week. That's not going to be helpful going into the week. Okay. And then we got some resources. I just want to throw this out there. Go to the website. You can look for the Conquering the Scale course is excellent. It has a fantastic scale protocol in there that would be really helpful. Check out your habit tracker. If you just want to print out a single sheet, you can. Also, we have tremendous assessments. So if you are a really good data collector, but you don't do anything with it, I highly recommend doing a quick weekly assessment. There's a weekly deep dive data sheet that's on there. Say that 3 times fast. Weekly deep dive data, weekly deep dive data. There's a weekly deep dive data sheet that you can use that is really, really good. It sounds like it's going to take a long time because of the weekly deep dive, but it's not. It's super quick. Coach Heather came up with it. And it's really, really great. So if you're collecting your data, but you're not doing anything with it, I highly, highly recommend doing that. There's two different versions. There's just the weekly assessment, and then there's a weekly deep dive data. They're both on the website. And also, we have a monthly assessment that's really good if you want to look at your data for the month. It's also really good. Okay, let me think. What else? Yes, scale protocol we talked about. Okay. Let's get to some coaching, shall we? All right, Carol from Delaware, you are coming on up. Here we go. 5:20 Central Time. Oh, look, Heather is putting the all the links in there. Sorry, Heather, I sent them to Coach Lizzie because I thought she was my wing woman tonight, but it's you. All right, here she is, Carol from Delaware. Hi, Carol, you're muted, hon. There you go.
A minute since I did Zoom.
Me too. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And I think you kind of addressed many of the issues that will probably solve my predicament, my problem. It's just that as I'm going down on my journey, one of my mini goals along the way to my main goal is to get like under 200. And it seemed as I get in the 203, 202, the next thing I know, I'm back up to 205, 207. And I think it's, I don't know if it's like a fear of going under that number, or if it's just that I'm like, as some of the people said, I'm kind of like rewarding myself for even getting that close, maybe not watching my portion sizes as tightly or, things like that. So I think many of the things that you already said, will probably help me through. It just seems like, every time I kind of get near that number, I kind of just wave away from it. So,
Okay. What will you do next time you get near the number?
well, that's where I'm in that situation right now. So I've been like
Okay.
watching all of the live chats and everything like mad, and listening to the repeats. And then I've also been really watching my portion sizes and trying to up my water intake. What else did I do? So I've increased like my veggies and things like that too. I know it's not a matter of good or bad foods, whatever, but I'm just thinking the vegetables will help fill me up. So I figured that way I can reach my full faster. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
So you mentioned portion sizes a couple of times. Well, first of all, I love that you are aware of this thought. First of all, because remember I said in the beginning, like awareness, sometimes just the awareness that you're telling yourself, because you kept saying, every time I get to this number, what happens? What did you say?
Kind of either slack off and my portion sizes go up. I just kind of laugh back.
Yes. Okay, so first of all, Carol from Delaware, let me give you props that you said every time I get to this number, my habits slack off. Right? That's so good because you are relating now what's happening to your habits. Do you know why that's a great thing?
I can pay attention to my habits.
Yes, because you're in charge of your habits, right? This is so much better than what I used to do. Like when the scale would go up, I'd be mad at the scale. Like, I had this concept that the scale was either benevolent or an asshole. Like, it was a person, like, it was a personality, right? So, the amazing thing is that you realize what happens when you get to a number. Your portions start going up, which I'm just going to say, you said portions twice. And I'm going to assume that what you mean is I start eating more than I need,
Sure.
right? Because remember, portions. They can be great. They can be great places for us to start to use a sort of a starting point for where we, how much to serve ourselves. But we never want to be in a place where we're telling ourselves, I just ate a portion, so it must be enough.
Right.
Right? We want to make sure that when we serve ourselves a portion, we're still staying connected to our bodies to see what our body says it needs. Sometimes it might need more than a portion. Sometimes it might need less, right? So the key tip for you to getting below that number is to number one, recognize when you're saying, I never can get below this. Recognize when you're saying, I always do this when I hit this number. Because if we're thinking that something's going to happen, what usually happens?
Happens.
Yeah, it happens, right? Yeah, because our thoughts are, we act the way we think, right? It's like almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Right.
So we got to do a little thought interrupt there. So, yes, now that you're kind of here now, right? You're here at this number again, right? Isn't that what you said? You're kind of in this space. Amazing. So now we want to start thinking about where you are on the scale right now in a new way. Because instead of thinking, oh my gosh, here I am again, I always do this, what can you think instead, Carol?
I'm getting that much closer to being the person that I want to be, right? To making this goal and then moving on to the next one.
Yeah. Okay. How does that feel to say that?
It felt pretty good.
Feels pretty good.
That much closer to getting to that goal.
Yeah. Are you getting better at paying attention to your habits and noticing when they're starting to, when you're getting a little bit sideways?
Some of my habits, yes.
Some of your habits, yes.
Ones that I actually track, yes. I don't track all of them, so, but I know.
So here's an opportunity, right? What habits aren't you tracking that might be helpful to track?
Don't really track the sleep because it's something that pops out on my watch that says, oh, okay, you bet you know, hours or whatever. So I don't really track that.
Okay.
And I'm not really tracking the water that accurately.
Okay. So there's a little room for improvement, but you're tracking doable hunger and you're tracking planning and assessing and following plan. You're tracking those.
Yes.
Okay. That's great. That's great. So you might want to, here's a little tip, and this is for everybody. If you're just tracking doable hunger, like generically, like I either did or didn't, you can, and I can't remember, I'm getting my old habit tracker and my new habit tracker mixed up. Y'all can tell me in the chat, is doable hunger split out into waiting for hunger and stopping it enough? Do you know, Carol? Is it separate on your habit tracker or is it all one thing?
I think it's all one thing on mine.
Okay. In the one of the blank spots, you may want to separate those out. Because having information about where our struggles or our challenges or our opportunities are might be, is it an opportunity for me to work on waiting for hunger? Or do I really want to focus on stopping it enough? Which one is more challenging for me so I know where to put my efforts, right? And tracking that, okay? Yeah. Do you believe that you have control over your habits? Yes or no?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a few of them that I still don't have, you know, like control over, but that's only probably because I haven't really worked on making an effort to make the control of them. So,
How would you do it?
Let's see. I think I would have to kind of like set even just a daily, just at the end of each day, go back through and say, okay, you know, check this off. And I think I would just have to really kind of go into my thought process and see how it actually relates to my end goal.
Yes. Did you say go into your thought process? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What controls our actions? The way we think. So when I asked you, are you in control of your habits? You can be if you are paying attention to what you're telling yourself each day. So let's go back to your great thought that I would love for you to start practicing. Okay. What if you thought, wow, here I am at this weight again, and I learned so much about how to pay attention to what I'm thinking so I can pay attention to my habits. I'm so glad that I have another chance here.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
It sounds like a doable thing. That sounds like something that, would definitely keep me on plan and keep my thoughts in a nice place.
Yeah, it makes you feel empowered, right? Like, hey, I don't have to repeat my past. I got some choices here, right?
Right.
Yes. Will you practice that thought this week?
I certainly will.
Yes. Yes. So let's start with believability, right? I can get under this number because I can hear my thinking. And I can start watching my habits. When I see myself eating a little bit extra or not paying attention to what I'm eating, I can use that to ask myself, hey, what's going on here? Let's pay attention to how much we're eating here, right? Here's another chance, right? Okay, will you let me know on Facebook how you're doing if you're on Facebook? And if not, will you email into support and let me know how it goes?
I'll do both. I'll put something into Facebook and then I'll make a note into the support, purchase support thing too.
I love that. I think you got this, Carol. You got this. Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Take care, love. Okay. Yes. Okay. This was a really good, because I don't know, Coach Heather, you can probably attest to this too. We coach a lot on, I keep getting close. Every time I get, for me, it was the zeros, the decades. It was like I had this mental thing, this thought that like every time I reached a decade, I just couldn't get below. It's like I had to like force it. And really, the truth is, if I was, keeping really good data, I would say, what habits change? What do I need to level up? Where can I scoot? But it all started with the idea that it was possible to get below the number. Because if you don't believe it's possible, if we keep thinking over and over again, I can't get through this, I can't get through this number. Yeah, it's going to be really challenging to get through the number. All right, let's see. Jacqueline. Oh, I like that name. I was going to name my daughter Jacqueline, but then I had a son and his name was Jack. So promote to panelist Jacqueline. How are we doing in the chat? Good. Enough isn't black or white. There's a couple of bites past enough and a binge. Yes, true. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I am so good. What are we talking about? Weighing in, I hope.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have had kind of a rough last month.
Okay.
I'm in month three of no
Okay.
BS. My
Congrats.
first month, thank you. My first month, I did like so great. I was hitting like 75 to 90% on all my basics. I lost almost 10 pounds. But it was very like, I'm finding that where I am in my cycle really has an impact on whether I maintain or lose. And
Why
then
is
in month
that?
two, I think it's probably hormones and my appetite changing a lot. Like, I can really do, like waiting till hunger, stopping at enough really well, like at certain points in my in the month, and then at other points it's really hard.
Okay. And it's usually around your cycle.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed.
Okay.
And I found like that's something that I noticed, and even though I noticed it when I would hit those weeks when I was maintaining or even gaining, I just had so much mental chatter going on about like, oh, this is horrible. Like, even if I didn't, like, even if I was still doing everything like pretty well, I was still finding that it was just like the mental chatter I was having around it was making it so hard to keep going. And then I don't know what happened. The second month, I really fell off pretty sharply from like 75, 85% on my basics to like 25, 50%. And I've gained back a lot of that 10 pounds that I initially lost. So that's been pretty discouraging.
Did you have a cycle in the first month that you were at No BS?
Yes, I did.
And you lost 10 pounds?
Yeah. So yeah, I know, like the first month I was kind of like the first half of the month I was doing really well. Second half I was kind of losing a little bit maintaining. And then in the second month, once I stopped losing so fast, I just like it just broke my brain. Like I couldn't do it anymore, which
So
doesn't
you want
really make
so
sense.
so okay, okay. So I have a couple of thoughts. One is, and this is I don't know. I'm gonna say them and you kind of tell me like, oh, I think that's the better way to think about it. One is, what if this is just your pattern? What if the way that you lose weight all the way down to goal is when I'm not on my period, I'm a baller at losing weight and it comes off fairly quickly and whatever, or it comes off at whatever rate it comes off. But then around my cycle, I usually maintain or I pop up a little bit. But thank goodness my cycle is only a week because then I get skipped. Like there's these different versions of you that just so happen to coincide with your cycle. Okay. The other way to think about this is to dig in to the truthfulness about losing weight while you're on your cycle, right? Like, is it truly hunger, or am I more tired, or am I having other thoughts? Because here's the thing that we know based on what I was saying at the beginning of the call. If you start thinking, that during my cycle, I can't lose weight. Even if you really could, like scientifically, if I don't even know if that makes sense, but even if you really could, if you think you can't, you're probably not going to, because our actions will reflect what we think, right? So those are the two options. Which one seems more accessible to you right now? Thinking that, hey, this is just my pattern. I lose for a few weeks and then I kind of maintain or have a little bit of a gain, but then I lose again. And this is just how it's going to go. Or is it more enticing to you to think, okay, let me dig into my period weeks or my premenstrual, whichever, I don't know if it's before or during, or everybody's different and when they want to manage their thoughts. Which one seems accessible to you today?
I think option B sounds a lot better to me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I know why option B sounds better to you today too.
What's
Because
that?
you want the scale to keep moving. The idea of the scale going up or maintaining is like, ew. Okay. So DLC, okay. So we just moved the needle just a little bit. We like crack the door open. Like, let's just say if it was possible to lose weight on our period, how would we do it? That's all we need to think. We just need to believe that it might be possible. We don't have to believe that it's 100% going to happen. None of that. We just have to believe that it's possible. Because if I said to you, hey, Jacqueline, like, what if it was possible to lose weight? Like, if we were just going to entertain the idea, where do you think you would start? Now, all of a sudden, your brain's like, huh, let me think. And what would you come up with? Do you have an idea where you could start?
For sure. So I do have a lot of data.
Nice.
One thing that I'm really not doing as well at as I could is waiting for hunger to eat. I think that's something that like it doesn't scare me so much. It's just like sometimes I just eat out of habit instead of waiting for hunger. And that's one thing that I haven't been doing great at that I think I could do a lot better at.
Okay, so we got a place to start. Is this going to be the magic place? I have no idea. I don't think there is such a thing, but it is a place to start. Because all of the areas, like, listen, none of us come into Nobias, especially being 3 months in. None of us come in and start nailing things like right away. Oh my God, I got my urges on week one. I got waiting for hunger on week two. That's not how this goes. This is going to be a process of you figuring out all the things one at a time, and they're gonna change. They're gonna change. You'll get this, and then it's like Corinne calls it. You sound like you live in Canada. Do you live in Canada?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I don't know if you have whack-a-mole up there, but down here we have whack-a-mole. That's kind of how weight loss is. It's like you like figure this out, and then the next thing pops up for you to work on, right? And that's how this is. So don't like this is a great place to start. There's no perfect place. So you already said, I know that I could probably work on waiting for hunger just a little bit. What kind of strategies could you use for waiting for hunger? What have you tried?
One thing that I found helpful is just carrying my water bottle around with me, and just when I think about drinking or I think about eating, I just have a drink and then I move on to something else. That's probably the main thing that I've tried. The other thing I've tried is just like whenever I want to have just a bite of something, I'll tell myself, well, does that really fit in with what my goals are long term? So that's been helpful.
Okay. So asking if it fits into your goals long term, right? So it sounds to me like you realize you're not hungry, but you want to eat anyway. I just did a long Facebook post about that. But yes, okay. So taking a sip of water, that's a great catch, by the way, because so many times we eat when we're actually thirsty. So that's kudos to you for figuring that out at this point in the game. You're amazing, right? And then asking yourself, hey, does this fit in with my goals? Can I just make one tweak to that thought? Can you try saying to yourself, is this the kind of person that I want to be? Like, do I want to be a person who just puts food in her mouth and doesn't enjoy it? Like, you know how I was talking about in the beginning, like when we do that drive-by eating, do you really enjoy it? Do you just want to be the kind of person? Yeah, exactly. Right. Do you want to be the kind of person that fuels their body when it's not asking for it?
No,
Right.
I really don't.
No, you don't, right? So we're building this version of you, right? A little bit at a time, one lesson at a time. We're building this version of you that is going to only eat when her body says it needs food, because that's the kind of person you want to be. Not because you're trying to lose weight. Right? But because that's the kind of person I want to be. Now, why would you want to be that kind of person? Why do you want to be the kind of person that only fuels their body when it asks for food? Besides weight loss, why do you want to be that way?
Well, I guess I just want to take good care of my body and I want to be healthy and yeah, I just feel better when I'm not overeating,
Oh,
regardless of anything related to my weight.
I love that so much. Yes, exactly. I had reasons for that too, because I learned that in order to be in maintenance comfortably, I had to have a reason to keep my habits going besides weight loss. Because guess what happens when you're in maintenance? You ain't losing weight anymore. So why do you keep doing your habits? You got to have a reason, right? Some of mine were I wanted to show my kids. I wanted to be an example for my kids that we only eat when our body needs it, right? The other reason I had for only eating when my body needed it, and frankly, for stopping at enough, was I didn't want to cover up any feelings anymore. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to stuff anything down. I wanted to experience all of my life, the good, the bad, the ugly. I wanted to be there for all of it. And so that meant not feeding my body when it wasn't hungry, because that's what I was doing. I was using the food to either escape a feeling that I was having or create some kind of feeling. I didn't want to escape anymore. I was like, I want to feel it. I want to cry. I want it to be safe for me to cry. I want to feel joy. I want to use my life to be the source of my happiness and let food come along for the ride. How does this feel to you, this conversation?
Yeah, it feels so the thought of experiencing all my emotions fully is kind of scary. I'm somebody who like really like tries to numb everything out and not get too extreme, like both ways, like happy or sad. Like I try to kind of keep it middle ground. So that's kind of scary, but it's scary, but it's appealing at the same time. Like it's making me kind of curious about what would life look like if I was allowed to experience all those emotions, if I allowed myself to do that.
What's scary about it?
I guess I worry I'm gonna be like too much for people. That's kind of the messaging that I got growing up was that you don't you just kind of tone everything down. Like you make yourself manageable for everybody and everybody's better off for it. And I don't think it served me that well.
Well, it did, right? When you were little. If that's the message you got, it did serve you, right? You learned, as it sounds like you learned as a little kid, this is how I want you to be. This is what is acceptable. And as little kids, the only thing we're thinking, the only thing that's driving us when we're little is to be seen, heard, and loved. And so when someone tells us how to get that, we abide by that. If our parents tell us, God, you're too much. I don't know if your parents ever said this. My dad used to say to me, stop crying before I give you something to cry about. Right? So I learned as a little kid, crying, you're not supposed to cry. It's not appropriate. Right? So no wonder adult you is, oh, I got to be even keel to be acceptable. Right? Yeah. Girl, this is deep for 3 months in an OBS. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Usually we don't start talking about this until you've been around for a while, but good for you for even knowing yourself this well. Like your self-awareness is admirable. The fact that you
Thank you.
even put those two things together right now, 3 months in, is so good. Yeah. And it's normal to be afraid of feelings. That's what I'm doing for you. I'm just normalizing that. No wonder you're afraid to experience your feelings. Because it's dangerous to little you, right? It means people won't accept you. It means that they might be too much. It means that, like, I don't know, some of my private clients used to say or will say, I'm afraid I'll get stuck in it, and I won't ever come out, right? And those kinds of things. So I'm not sure where you are on the no BS, like weight loss course and those kinds of things, but finish that first for sure. We have a lot of resources on how to feel your feelings, the safety around feelings, what a feeling is, those kinds of things. I highly recommend. Don't worry about trying to like jump into feeling them right now. That might be too much. Do a little bit of research on what it would look like We've got a lot of replays on Corinne and other coaches guiding people through feeling their feelings. We actually have a whole process dedicated, like a step-by-step process on how to actually feel a feeling. It's called the NOW process, NOW. You could search that on the website. There's lots of really great resources. And if you get stuck, if you're on Facebook, tag any one of us coaches or write into support and say, "Hey, Coach Christy told me about some feelings resources. I can't find them. Can you help me?" Okay. Like, you're getting
Sure.
so much
Yeah.
love in the chat right now. Pam says,
Oh.
"Jacqueline, you are doing great." Yeah. Yeah. So I don't even remember what the first thing you asked me was. What the hell were we talking about in the beginning? We ended up talking about little Jacqueline. I don't know how that
Yeah.
got off track. That's how
Yeah.
coaching goes, right? We start off talking about one thing and then we kind of get to the root of it. But yeah, oh, that's right. We were talking about you doing really well in the beginning and gaining weight on your period. Oh, yeah, of course. And now we're talking about feelings. Yeah.
Of course.
But let's go back just to recap, just to bring this full circle. It is, if it is possible to lose weight on your period, let's be curious and see. I wonder if it was possible. How would I do that? Where would I start? And you said, well, I think I would start working on my waiting for hunger and see where that gets me. And then let's see. Let's just experiment with some stuff and let's see.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. All right. It was really great to meet you. I
Thank
can't wait
you.
to
You
hear how you do. All
too. Okay, great.
right. Take care, love. All right. Bye
Thank
bye.
you.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to move her down to an attendee. All right, Jen. Jen Miller. Miller is my maiden name, Jen Miller. Come on up. It's also my son's middle name. Jackson Miller Davis is his name because we don't have any boys in my family. So I wanted to keep my maiden name going. Hello, Jen Miller.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
So
What's
this
we
is my
talking about?
first, well, this is my first ever time being coached. So right now I'm like,
Girl, it's just me and you, and like, I don't even know, like a couple hundred people. It's fine.
hey. So I have been a member of No BS since January of 2020. Prior to that, for many years, I was a proud member of the Weight Watchers.
The
So
Weight Watchers. I love
the
it.
Weight Watchers, right? So every week I went and stepped on that scale, and I right now how what I'm dealing with, and I've been a member, like I said, since 2020, but I wasn't doing the things until just recently because I joined an amazing accountability group, the ABC Accountability Group, and we are rocking
Shout out.
it. Yeah. So every single Friday we go into our Excel sheet that we share and we upload our data. But what I'm finding with the scale is that I put so much value on that scale that and it stays the same. I can look at the data. It stayed the same exact weight for like, I think it was a month. Then it went up 1 pound during my period. Then it went back down. But my problem is I feel, and I don't know how to get free of this. I put so much value in that scale and what the numbers said that it just, I just basically will give up, you
What does
know.
the number say?
Well, for a while it stayed the same.
No.
And
I mean, you said I put so much value in what the number says. I don't want to
well,
know the number. What does the number say? What do you make the number mean? Why is it so valuable? Like, what is it? What kind of hold does it have on you?
I just feel like it's either it shows me if I'm doing a good job or a bad job. And that's what I'm trying to get away from. So
Okay.
it's
Well,
either
it does show you how you're doing. I mean,
right.
it is one piece of data. But is there such thing as a good job or a bad job?
No,
No.
there's not.
No. The
So,
scale is giving you some really great answers. You're just
right.
making it mean that you're doing a bad job. What
Yes,
else
and
could it
that's
mean?
exactly. It could mean that there's areas that I need to look at, you
Yeah.
know, that I need
Me too,
to.
girl. Same girl, same.
That I need to look at and see, evaluate and see where what areas I can and listening to the two ladies that went ahead of me, I wrote down a million notes because it was just such, you know, so many good nuggets and everything. But I feel like being a member since 2020 and I'm still like I still feel like I'm still so worried about that scale number and how it can just throw me off for
No,
like
The scale doesn't throw you off.
Right.
What throws you off,
So,
my love?
well, what throws me off is my thinking about the scale and what that number
Yes.
means.
Yes.
So,
Yes. Yes.
okay.
Absolutely. The scale does not throw you off. The scale gives you an opportunity to look back at your data and find areas that you could maybe level up and find your wins.
Okay.
Because
Yes, and
if
you.
you're not gaining weight, you're maintaining. So there's got to be some wins in there.
And see, I'm not counting that. I'm considering that not, stay turtling, staying the same as not a win because I'm not going down because I'm still in that mindset.
You ever go to Weight Watchers and stay the same and be like, thank God?
Yes. I remember those
Yeah.
days, but I
It's a
just.
win. You're doing something right. You are eating for maintenance right now, which is awesome because then when you get to maintenance, you will have this down pat. You'll be like, whoo, I got this. I know how to eat for maintenance, right? You're eating for maintenance right now. That's okay. We just want to start losing some weight. So let me ask you, Jen, where is your area? If you could just listen, no right area, no perfect area, just give me your best guess. If you could clean up one little area, the lowest hanging fruit you can think of, what is it?
I think it would be the mindless eating, the not working on the doable hunger, maybe, where I feel like sometimes I'm eating, but I'm not really hungry.
Okay.
So that's
Tell
my
me about
biggest
a
thing.
time recently that you did that.
Yesterday at
Okay,
work,
tell me about it.
and it was I was having a stressful day. A lot of
Okay.
work. It wasn't stressful. I don't want to say stressful, but it was just I had a lot of work I had to get done, and I was tired, of course, because I did not fully get the sleep in. And
Okay.
I feel like I turned to like the potato chips, and I didn't even need them. I just sat there and I was eating them, and I wasn't even hungry. So
Okay. What were you looking for?
I would say looking for sleep would be the main thing because I was overtired and overwhelmed with the situ with what I was doing at that moment. And I feel like I find myself in that doing that a lot.
Okay. So there's an area right there. So one of the things that I could work on if the scale, if I don't get a read on the scale that I want, if it didn't go down, one of the things I could look at is how could I make my sleep a little bit better? That actually kind of feels good, right? Like I could actually, what could I do? Do I need a better nighttime routine? Do I need to
Right.
stop staying up watching Housewives? Oh, wait, that's me and Coach Heather. Sorry, Heather, I just totally outed you, right? Like, what do I need to do to improve my sleep? That's an area of low-hanging fruit. Sure. Okay. But let's just say you got babies or there's some reason that your sleep has not been great and you're doing your best, but you're still not getting great sleep, right? Let's just say, what could you have done in the moment at work to help?
I feel like I could have drank some water, had some
Okay.
more water, got up
Got
and
it.
walked around, moved
Got up and
away
walked
from
around.
the situation that I was doing. I also could have journaled and reached out to my accountability partners.
Y'all, look at this. You're coaching yourself, Jen. I'm just going to sit back. You just keep on going. I
I just
mean,
need
you got
to.
all this is amazing. Yes. You know what the only difference is here is that you're now, I'm asking you to look back and be a scientist and you're actually doing it.
Right.
That's the only thing
That's,
that's happening
yeah.
here. Yeah. I'm not even giving you any answers. You're coming up with them. You're like, well, I could message my accountability group, could get up and walk around, could probably close my eyes for 3 minutes. Nobody would even know, right? I could
Right.
go to the bathroom and
Right.
sit in a stall and take a little snooze, do a little quick
Right.
meditation. I could tell my brain, hey, brain, I know you're tired. Man, you're doing really great. Tonight, I promise you, we're not doing any of the stuff on that to-do list. We are going to bed early.
Right.
If you can't do any of those other things, sometimes showing your brain when it's going to get what it needs is enough to keep you going in the moment.
That's awesome. I thank you.
Acknowledging, I hear you. We're tired. Man, we are tired. And I promise you, rest is coming, and here's when it's coming.
Okay. I love
Right?
that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah. It's normal to want the scale to go down. It's normal. It feels great. Validates.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're doing the things. Yeah. Right. It's okay to be disappointed when it doesn't, but don't let the conversation end there. If the
Right.
scale
Okay.
isn't doing what you want to do, girl, put on that scientist robe, no, hat. What I get those two mixed up. Judge's robe, scientist hat, I don't know, whatever. Be the scientist. And if you get stuck and you're like, I don't know where to begin, come to Ask Coaches, come to Facebook, be like, here's
Okay.
all my crap. Here's my overeats. Here's where, this is why you have to have data, right? Because we
Right.
want to know
Right.
where to look. And there's no perfect place. Just start somewhere. Be like, well, I don't know. Do
Perfect.
I work on my, when I went out to eat, do I work on the chips at work? Do I work? I don't care. Doesn't matter. Start with the
Okay.
lowest one. Start with the one that you feel like isn't going to be like super, like send you into resistance and freak out. Start with those. Clean those up first and see what the scale does. And then keep finding little areas that feel doable. Okay.
Perfect. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome. It
Thank
wasn't that
you.
bad, was it? It wasn't that bad.
No, I no, it was awesome. You're amazing and I appreciate it so much.
You're amazing. No, you are. No,
Thank
you
you.
are. Okay. Thanks, Jen. See ya.
Thank you so
Okay.
much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, hon. Bye-bye. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Debbie, I'm gonna see if we can get you done in 5 minutes because I'm actually doing the maintenance call right after this and I cannot be late. I will get fired. No, I'm just kidding. I won't get fired. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I would get fired. We'll see. All right, Debbie Brown Quilts, promote to panelists. Let's see if we can get this done. I always do this to myself. I end up like trying to cram somebody at the end. Sorry, Debbie Brown Quilts. Is she coming up? Yeah, here she is. Heather killing it in the chat as usual. Well,
Hello?
hi. Hi, Debbie Brown Quilts. Wait, I just have to ask, do you really quilt?
I really do.
Oh my God, I love this so much. My mom's a huge quilter, and I think people that quilt are the most talented, creative people. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. What are we doing a speed coach on?
Okay, speed coaching. Joined in September. I've lost about 11 pounds. But I have some serious medical issues that will be forever issues.
Okay.
I have autoimmune treatments 3 times a year that leave me like in morning sickness for like 5 to 6 weeks. I'm just a little
Okay.
nauseous, just a little
Okay.
tired. Eating sweet or bread, it helps with the nausea.
Okay.
And the other one is I need to have I've had a couple herniated discs, so I'm not mobile right now.
Okay.
So the scale changes, not necessarily depending on what I do. It depends on what medications I'm on. And
Okay.
sometimes, so activity is hard for me. So I can't get a lot of exercise, but I know you can never out-exercise a bad diet. But so the
Yeah.
scale is going to move. Like I just went through an infusion cycle and had like a 6 pound weight gain, and I'm working that off now. So it's just how do I keep going whenever I want to eat for comfort, or I want to eat to because I'm in pain, or I want to eat because I'm nauseous.
Does the food help with your pain?
No.
Dang it. Oh, I was going to say, well, then do that. But
I would love
it
it
doesn't.
if it did. Cake should
Right?
be the answer.
I agree. I would get on that train. Yeah. The truth is, it doesn't help with your pain. It's just a momentary distraction, right?
Right.
But the good news is, that's also a solution. Distraction is a solution for you, apparently. So, how else could we do that?
It's been working a little bit that I go and shockingly quilt.
Amen, sister. Look at you. When I'm in pain, sometimes the best thing that helps me is just to distract myself until
Or
I can
pick
go to
up some
bed.
knitting or whatever.
Picks up some knitting. Yeah, that's a great solution for you. Food is an option. It's probably even shorter living than I would guess quilting, right? So it's not even the best option because it lasts for however long you're eating for, right? Which is, not very long compared to how long it would take to make a quilt. Yeah. So you already have a solution that would work for you. Distraction. When I'm in pain, distraction helps me. What else helps you? What else gives you comfort besides food?
I'm not sure.
There's an area to explore. How else could I comfort myself if food wasn't the only answer? I like to think of food as like, forgive the pun, on the menu of options. But it's not the only one.
That's just a way to have a good feeling instead of feeling bad.
Oh, really? Do you feel great about it now?
I feel great about it at the time.
Right. Right. So we're just kicking the can. So
Yeah.
you're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's all we're doing here, right? It feels good in the moment. And I'm just going to even argue a little bit. And I would love for you to even question that thought. Just pay attention to the next time you sit down and you know you're not hungry and you've got, okay, I'm outing myself here, a giant bowl of popcorn and you're sitting on the couch. And I'm just going to be, pay attention to what you're thinking and see how long it actually feels good.
Okay.
Just question that a little bit. Okay.
Thank you.
So, the last piece of advice I want to give you. Remember how in the beginning I was talking about reasons other than the scale for your habits? I want you to tap into that. Why am I doing these things other than weight loss? Why am I not going to overfeed my body that have nothing to do with weight loss? Why am I going to get my water in that has nothing to do with weight loss? What is great about making a plan that has nothing to do with weight loss?
My weight has not caused my medical problems, but it certainly isn't helping them. So I do need to get it off because I did have big New York City head of heart transplant doctor tell me you need to lose 10 pounds by the time you come back.
Yeah, but you asked me, how do I keep going? And I'm telling you how to keep going because if there are things that are affecting the scale that are out of your control, then that means we can't have just the scale be our why.
Right.
We have to have some other things. Okay. On the website, there is a worksheet about how to find your whys.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to go to the website and just type in finding your whys and see what comes up. Try that exercise. Tag me in Facebook and let me know what you come up with.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Debbie Brown Quilts. Also, post some pictures of your quilts.
Will do.
All right. Take care, hon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. That's it, everybody. I'm signing off. Thanks for coming tonight. Let us know on Facebook how y'all are doing, and we'll see you next time. See ya.